After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know, I think the reality of the situation is we have to have a very serious talk right now. All you people, disciples, that's what you call yourself, right?
No.
Playoff mode has been activated.
Oh.
Playoff deuce is here. The next four games are beyond massive. OKC. Mm-hmm. You got New Orleans.
Yeah.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then wrapping up with the Blazers.
Okay. Okay.
We're playing for keeps.
Okay.
We're playing for keeps. If you're ready for the next four.
Give me a hell yeah.
Okay. Then I'm doing it.
Oh.
Because we're jamming. Okay. We're feeling good. Okay. First, I was like, we could do the music to it. And then I was like, you know what? It's a little mashup. Doesn't need the music. I mean, it could use the music, but then we couldn't monetize. So I said, no music, okay?
Okay. I have no idea where you're going.
Just believe.
Okay.
This is Believe in the Beam mashup, okay? Do you believe in the beam? I can feel something inside of me that this really is a playoff team. Oh, it's not unusual to believe in the beam. Ba-na-na-na. It's not unusual to have fun with the beam. But when I don't see that gleam in the sky, it's not unusual to see me cry. I wanna die. She's just a beam that smiles at me after every king's victory. There's nothing like seeing the bright purple sky. Now and then when she don't shine, I ask myself, did we lose it at the line? If I think too long, then I'll probably break down and cry. Whoa, oh, 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 sweet beam of mine.
Give me a hell yeah.
Jamming. And so I was feeling like, we need to believe in the beam going forward. Yeah. Little Cher.
The wine is on point. Morgan's just got back from downtown San Francisco. She's drinking a little sparkling water.
Oh, I could use some wine.
Oh, man. Good job, Morgan. That's a good way to set the intention for what lies ahead the next four games.
Thank you.
We cannot. We're in business mode now.
Oh.
I mean, it's gotten serious, but now you're like, Philip, OKC. I don't care who's playing coming up on Tuesday. What did they say in the movie Ted? Thunder, you can S my C.
Just say it all.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Why? It's just a song.
It's really aggressive. People are going to look it up.
Thunder.
So you got OKC. Thursday, the Pelicans come to Sacramento and then the next night. Who cares? Bring it on.
Who cares?
Your final back-to-back of the season.
Let's go.
Who cares? Your final back-to-back of the season. Three games in four nights. Who cares?
You got nothing to lose.
You have everything to lose.
Oh.
Make a push. Deuce Mason over here is just content with 7-8 at this point. Prove me wrong.
What?
Shock the world and get to the top six. If you win now, make it interesting. I can't wait.
That's really still, I guess it is still a possibility.
It's absolutely still a possibility.
That's so weird to think about. That feels so far. But you know what? Tonight's about believing in the beam.
If you have not done it yet, we appreciate you being here on a Sunday night. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We appreciate you guys being here much later after the game. Of course, Morgan was driving back from San Francisco. We like to do the show in person if we can, so we're doing it in person. The good news, Tuesday night after the OKC game, we'll be on pretty soon after the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not going to San Francisco for that one.
Hannah.
Hell yeah. Some reaction. People are really digging all your stuff, Morgan.
Oh, my God. Thanks, guys. She's eating.
Get him. She's eating. Let her eat. Let her cook. Mo is the best. Okay. Oh, one thing I have to do, I need to drop this in Discord so people know we're live. Shout out to TD for the donation, Morgan.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Saying, Morgan, here's one for you. If you want to sing it, give me a Beam Boys, Free My Soul. Yeah. I want to get lost in your pick and roll and drift away.
Give me the Beam Boys and free my soul. I want to get lost in your pick and roll and drift away. I love it. Make money. Make Super Chat money off of just like karaoke bits.
You know what's so funny about this is if the Kings ever have like playoff success, do you understand the amount of songs we're going to be singing after the game?
No, because
it's going to be like a concert before the podcast starts.
You can't. You can't because like.
And then we stop and everyone's like, one more song.
No. Because even this, I needed the 2 hours to like jam in my car to be like, okay, let me like. Think about things.
Can you give me that one more time, Morgan, from TD?
Give me the Beam Boys and free my soul. I want to get lost in your pick and roll and drift away.
Okay, my turn.
Okay. Remember, don't force. Don't force. Just talk it.
I know. Okay. Can you just let me cook?
Let him
cook.
But I'm coaching.
I don't want coaching till after, okay?
Cook!
Give me a Beam Boys and free my soul. You made me laugh. Shut up. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Give me your Beam Boys and free my soul. I want to get lost in your pick and roll and drift away.
You honestly?
Give me a hell yeah.
Yes! Morgan sucks!
Morgan sucks! Morgan sucks! Oh my God. I'm actually really proud that you didn't do your whole like try and push and belt the and start the music.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Recording this late on a Sunday night. The Kings bounce back in a big way against the banged up Brooklyn Nets. The Kings had a bad third quarter, but still found a way to win 107-77 as they dominated tonight in Brooklyn. And guess what? they get ready for a huge Final Four games in a tough Western Conference where they're trying to solidify their spot in the play-in race and potentially surprise everybody and get into the top six. Tonight's podcast, as always, presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. I'm Juice Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
I am fantastic. Tonight's a good night. The beam is in the sky. Kings did what they needed to do. And
yeah.
I think sometimes people go, yeah, they do what they needed. Duh. And I'm like, whoa, they're turbo. They did what they needed to do. And you can still be happy about that. Like that is a good thing. That is a positive thing. So I'm happy that we're talking about a 30-point win.
A 30-point win is nice. A 30-point win is very nice after dropping the last couple and seeing the Lakers go back ahead of you in the standings. For just a moment, we'll talk some standings coming up. A couple of milestones. The Kings are now 45-33. That's their seventh best record in the Sacramento era. It's kind of crazy to think about.
Give me a hell yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate the little things.
And before the season, Vegas had the over-under at 44.5. The Kings went over.
Give me a hell yeah.
There you go.
Hey.
So there's the good from tonight. If you want to get in the specifics with tonight's game, we did see some different things tonight. Some interesting things that jumped out, including some rotation changes. I don't know if this is because, you know, it's the end of the season, trying to get guys different looks, or is Mike Brown still trying to search for things with this group? We'll get into that, but what's kind of the biggest thing that jumped out to you from this game today?
The biggest thing? I feel like I already stated it.
Taking care of business.
That's it. And yeah. It sounds so generic, right? But I think there's all the little pieces that go into taking care of business. Keegan Murray being aggressive, being able to go to your bench for energy when it felt like that starting unit coming out didn't have it at first against Brooklyn. I would say there's just a lot of good things that were getting done later on in the game. Definitely not in the third, but like in the fourth, closing it out, executing.
Where was your peak frustration with this game? And where was your peak like exhilarance? Is that a word?
Sure.
Your peak exhilarating moment.
I liked exhilarance.
I don't think that's a word.
Let's see. Exhilarance.
You know what? I think I would combine exhilarating and exuberance.
Well, yeah. I like the combo.
I like exhilarance. It's a new word. Deuce Mason, everybody.
My lows of the lows was
for me. Okay.
I think yours is going to be different. Mine was the first quarter.
What is there a play from that first quarter though?
Okay. Wait. No. Do we have the same play then? I know we have the same play. On three, let's say it at the same time, even though it's going to come out differently.
Fox.
Oh, 3, 2, 1.
Fox to Davion Alley-oop. And it's not even a problem with the fact that Fox was in transition to throw an alley-oop to Davion Mitchell. He actually did that in the playoffs last year and against the Warriors. It's like, it was defended pretty well. Like, it was just not the smartest alley-oop I've ever seen in my life. There was a defender there and it got broken up. And what was crazy about that play is the Kings ended up scoring on like a third chance opportunity from a Davion Mitchell three. So it all worked out, but you're going, oh, dear, just take it all the way. And I don't know if he thought he had Malik Monk with him. I don't know what he was thinking. He just threw it up to Davion. I'm going, no!
It was one of those moments, too, where the lead wasn't enough for me at that time, where there wasn't enough dominance, pure dominance at that point, in my opinion. Yeah. And so when that happened, like, I even said this on the post-game show. I said, bench him. You bench his ass after that. You do not leave him in there. And I love Davion even talked about it after the game, too, because he was just like, yeah, when he threw it up, I was just like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this? What are you looking for?
I text Morgan after. I said, Fox lobbing it to Davion should get him benched.
Yes. We were so mad. But that's what it's like.
I was so irritated. I'm like, you're not up 30 right now.
Yes.
No playing around.
That is how I felt.
And I think we all, if you're watching the game, you know, especially, you know, I know so many things are going on today. You had the Women's College Championship game. Shout out South Carolina. Shout out Caitlin Clark, who had an amazing run too. Will be the number one pick. You had that. Of course, you had night two of Mania.
Of course.
And then you had this Kings Nets game.
And Stockton Kings.
Stockton Kings in the playoffs. They lost in the conference finals to OKC. So there's a lot going on today. Yeah. And then people just have lives. But if you watch this game or you skip tonight's game, it was one of those where you're like, okay, the Nets have so many guys out late in the year, but they have enough guys in their lineup that scare you. Like, I'm looking at the lineup. Even though I'm going, the Kings are going to win tonight. They're not going to mess around and lose. I'm going, yeah, but what if Schroeder does this?
Yep.
Or what if Cam Thomas does this?
Yep.
Oh, but Bridges, you know, maybe he gets it going. So there's just enough elements of fear going into this game where when it got off to kind of a shaky start and the Nets had the lead, you're like, no, this could be the low point. I don't want the low point.
That was my low point.
But I think the one thing I've challenged myself to do, it's hard.
In first quarters?
Just in games in general. Like, it's a 48-minute game. It's a 48-minute game. And, like, if you're overreacting and you're talking in the first quarter like it's over, it's done, because they're down 4 to the Nets, it's like, dude, no, they can figure it out. Just get it going. Knock down some shots.
What's frustrating is sometimes when that identity bleeds on into the rest of the game, right?
Yeah.
And I think that obviously has happened. Then you've seen other teams be resilient or fight back or whatever it is. Even a few nights ago against the Celtics, it's like it wasn't the best game. They were playing a really good team in the Boston Celtics. Kings weren't making anything. And then they found a way to rally back. It still didn't excite me that much that they rallied back, but it still doesn't make it that, like, it wasn't hard to rally back from, you know, being down 21, whatever it was. So now you look at this game and the way that they started it. I know you always want teams to set the tone from the start. Come on. Like, I say that all the time. But yes, I did understand when you are playing a bad team that there's ways to just kind of like get out the kinks and then figure out your true identity for this game.
It was a similar start to the Celtics game where we were at the 6-ish minute mark, 6:56 mark, I believe, and it was 7-6. Brooklyn was 2-for-11, 0-for-4 from three. Sacramento was 2-of-7, 1-of-4 from three with a few turnovers. So those were just moments you were like, oh no, this can't be the game. They have to win tonight. At the end of the first quarter, it was 29-19 Sacramento. And then by the half, Sacramento got it going. They were leading by 25 at the half. Before we talk more about the second half and other things, one thing we did see early in the first quarter, Colby Jones made an appearance after playing some solid final, like, 5 minutes against the Celtics. And we had talked about last podcast, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Colby in the next game. And sure enough, that's the typical Mike Brown move. If you play well for a stretch in a game where maybe they're down or, you know, you kind of surprise or you're playing the right way, you're going to get a chance. And he got a chance in this one. Sasha really did not get any minutes until garbage time of this game. So they go with Colby Jones instead. Morgan, Colby Jones, I thought, was fantastic out there. I thought defensively, he showed you something with his length, his size. He was playing physical, getting in the passing lanes. And then I thought even offensively, like, he was making the right decisions. I never felt like he was forcing things. There was one play where he had a deflection, turnover, went the other way, set up Fox for an easy score. He pushed, set up Fox for a score. Another play where Fox found him in transition, and Colby took it hard to the rim, kicked it out to Keon Ellis for three. Yeah. He was just making the right play every time, not forcing things. And then you look at the end of this game, Morgan, he finished with 7 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 steals and 2 blocks.
It's so nice to see. And I think this is something that I said in the postgame show. I was like, he looks the same when he is out there on the G League floor. And why that's a good thing, because when he's out there on the G League floor, what he does a really good job of is always doing the little things and always dominating out there, right? So usually when you're dominating in the G, you can find a spot in the NBA. And to see his game translate so nice, even against a team like the Brooklyn Nets, I don't care. These are NBA players. It translated. It was the same thing of him flying in there for rebounds, of him getting his hands up in passing lanes, of him making the right plays. He just plays with so much confidence no matter what floor he's on. And that's what I appreciate about him, just always staying ready.
Yeah, he was played 23 minutes in this game.
Yep.
So you wonder if he'll keep playing going forward. I think he played enough.
I think
enough to keep going.
Dude, there's some sort of like energy that he brings that's very composed, but it's just like, I'm going to do all the dirty work no matter what. And I know at the end of the day, it's like, you're like, well, can we win with that? Or do we need a sharpshooter like Sasha out there? Well, maybe it's just the matchup. Maybe it just depends.
Well, I guess that's the question I was just going toward next is, you know, I see Sasha and he gets out, he goes out there and he makes shit happen. He did not have a good game against Boston.
Yeah.
Okay. But it is one game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been really tough if you're one of those guys that on the Kings bench, that's a fringe guy.
Yeah.
Because it seems like if you don't do everything out there, like if you're not perfect, if you make a couple of the repeated mistakes, you're done. You're done. And so that's where it's tough for me, right? Like Colby came in and made the most of the opportunity. I'm like, yeah, Colby probably deserves to play next game. But at the same point, I'm going, yeah, I think Sasha can still help you because of his size, his shooting, the passing, all the things we've talked about, even defensively, there's not going to be good matchups for him every night defensively. Yeah. But just because he has like a couple of struggles on the defensive end against Boston, I don't know that means he's out of the rotation. And it looks like he is now.
You're talking about
just tonight.
Sasha, you're saying. Yeah, I don't know. I would say just tonight. I would say just tonight. But that's the thing. If you don't bring a certain type of toughness that is needed to this team also needs made baskets, right? But it's not like Sasha is the end-all, be-all, reliable three-point shooter.
Sure.
You know, and also that could be because his leash has been shorter, not
that's
enough experience.
What I'm saying.
All the things. But, like, you don't have time to figure that out, like, especially now. You know, the injuries really slowed him down. Like, or both of the same ankle or different ankles, whatever. The ankle injuries that ended up happening for him, especially when it felt like he was starting to figure it out a little bit, the NBA pace, getting a feel for the game. So, there's no time. And if he's not in the rotation right now, I'm whatever about it.
Yeah, it's just a short leash. And
it's what is needed, though, Deuce.
And I get it. And I'm just saying it's tough as a player. It's tough when if you're not going to be perfect every night.
100%.
If Sasha was perfect, he'd probably be a starter in the NBA, is my point. Like, so your bench guys, I think sometimes you do have to ride the waves of, all right, let's work through the struggles a little bit. And so, I don't know, maybe it's simple as this. They were playing the Nets, and Mike's like, you know what? I'm going to go with Colby because I want to get a look before the playoffs. Yeah. I just want to see what it looks like out there.
Especially when you don't know Malik's timeline for sure. And if you do make the playoffs and you need that extra guy out there. It's sad. Like, you saying it, like, oh, it sucks for the players. Like, all those things. Absolutely, 100%. But at the same time, we are at such a different time of the season now. It's like, if you do not contribute the second you get out there, I'm there. Like, playoff mode's here. You know, like, you got to execute or sit your ass down.
And in the chat, I think it's one tried saying that you got to rotate to find who's hot. And it does seem like Mike is very big on the hot player off the bench. Like, if you got it going, when we say hot, it's just not about shot making. That's one element. For him, it's about, are you getting stops? Are you doing the little things?
Yep.
Are you being active defensively? Are you in the right spots defensively?
By the way, I don't agree with this strategy throughout the season. I think this is the strategy that you are utilizing now because you are down bodies and you are in desperate mode to make sure that you put yourself in every position to win. And sometimes when you put yourself in desperate mode, you make mistakes too as a coach, right? Like, there's going to be mistakes that are being made when he doesn't go to certain bodies. But, like, everyone's human. That shit's going to happen right now.
Well, good for Colby. The one thing he did not do well tonight was shoot it from three. He was 1 of 6 from downtown. He was also 0 for 2 at the free throw line. That's an element of his game. He was not a good free throw shooter in college. Inconsistent, too, in the G League and in the pros. You know, he's much more of a mid-range guy in the G League from what we saw. He can hit the three, but he's very confident in that mid-range, the float. He's got a nice floater that he can show off.
And how many times, like, especially if someone's not going to respect your shot or even respect you being able to take them to the rack, like, that area of the floor is going to be open. Look, you know, if he has more opportunities going forward, if, like, make sure to look for yours there. Even if you're getting a DHO from Sabonis, whoever, and you're just curling off of it, getting to your spot at the elbow.
The other interesting element from tonight's game from a rotation standpoint, we mentioned Colby in there instead of Sasha. Harrison Barnes got the start, played 7 minutes, did not play the rest of the first half. Then he started the third quarter. He ends up playing 11 minutes and 15 seconds in the game. He finished with 2 points, 1 of 4 shooting, 0 for 2 from three. Instead, we saw a heavy dose of Trey Lyles. Saw a lot of Davion Mitchell, but Trey Lyles was fantastic off the bench in this game. He played just under 30 minutes, 14 points, 10 rebounds. He also had 2 assists and a steal on 6 of 8 shooting, 2 of 3 from downtown for Trey Lyles.
Loved Trey Lyles' game.
Here's my question.
Yes, sir.
I know I've mentioned this before.
Probably.
If this is just a one-game thing, like maybe it's like, hey, this is where I don't know what to make of it, right? I didn't hear Mike Brown's post-game thing. Was this the thing where it's like, hey, we want Harrison Barnes' starting or consecutive game streak to continue, but we're not going to play him a lot tonight? We're trying some different things? Or was it like, I don't like what he's giving us, so we're going to go with Trey Lyles. He's cooking. We're going to let HB rest tonight. It's just interesting he played 11 minutes. And if it's more of the side of he didn't play well, this is why he played 11 minutes. I guess my question is, if you have a starter that's in that realm where you feel like some nights he can only give you 11 minutes, 15 minutes, 16 minutes, why wouldn't you just put Trey Lyles because in the starting lineup?
Because there's been other nights that HB has been able to drop 30 or whatever it is. And you are, this guy has shown it enough in this league, in this position, that he can do that. And not even this season. I'm just saying within his career, right? And so you ride one of the only consistent things that you have going for you. Why do you think the debate of whether or not Kevin Huerter should be in the starting lineup was such a huge thing? Because he was so up and down, but we were getting closer and closer to the end of the season. It's ride with what feels the most, what makes you feel the most comfortable with your vet or whatever it is, but definitely play him those amount of minutes if he's not providing. And Deuce, and I just talked about this. The first quarter, I hated it. I felt like the way that they came out, this and that, blah, blah. If the tone doesn't matter because there's 4 quarters in the game, then why did something like that really matter, right? Why
just get off to a good start. Like if Trey Lyles is more productive out there on a regular basis, the lineups he plays in are plus versus minus.
Yeah.
Then maybe that just makes more sense to roll with. It doesn't mean you don't play Harrison.
But he could be your new staggering Malik Monk or whatever it is.
I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, I think at this point we're used to it. The reality is Fox and Sabonis are playing.
Yep.
And Keegan's probably the other guy now. Because if Keegan is out there playing defense and he's trying to be aggressive offensively, Mike's going to play him. That's all there is. Those three, that's for sure. Those guys are playing.
And I know we'll talk more about Keegan, but Keegan even taking 18 shots in this game and being aggressive and taking those, you know, Kyle was asking me on the postgame show, like, you know, if he's taking those, do you care? Or like something about like, does it take away from anyone else? And it's like, no, I would rather have him taking those and missing those than even honestly some other guys. And he was like, do you want to go there? And I was like, I'll go there. I'm like, more than Harrison Barnes. Like if Harrison Barnes isn't having one of his hot nights, Keegan Murray needs to be taking all those shots. Keegan Murray, we need to be able to rely on Keegan Murray to be the aggressor out there. If Harrison Barnes is having one of those nights where he's flowing and he's on fire, let him rip. Do what you got to do. And if Keegan only has 12 shots in that game, then that's what it's going to be. But mostly we need to keep seeing Keegan Murray take 18, 20 plus shots.
I want to do some quick math, if you don't mind. I'm looking at Keegan Murray's game log. I had this stat the other night on the broadcast, and actually, I guess Dutch Gately mentioned a similar stat.
That's what he was saying.
I wanted to get to this. Keegan Murray, when he takes 17 or more shots in a game this year, the Kings are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah, 8, 9, 10, 11.
11 and...
Is that right?
Checking the math.
I'm just double checking now. Sorry,
It's a it's good. Good shit happens.
They're 11-3.
Yeah.
They're good shit happens. When Keegan Murray takes 17 or more shots in the game, and actually, no, that doesn't include tonight. They're 12-3. They're 12-3.
You literally had not just shots, you had stats
about Harrison Barnes and points.
Three games ago about Harrison and Keegan when they score 17 plus points. Like, what good things happen? The amount of games that the Kings win when those two are scoring like that. But if it's not going to be those two and Harrison's going to have his inconsistency all season long, I mean, which same as Keegan, but I feel like you're trying to develop Keegan into what you want him to be for the future of your franchise, shoot the shit out of the basketball. Shoot the shit out of the basketball.
Yeah, he was 1 of 5 in the first half, had 5 points. Mm-hmm. And he's missing shots. I think he was 1 of 3 from downtown at that point. He came out of the gates in the third, and the Kings were missing everything. It was a hideous third quarter for the Sacramento Kings. Remember, they're up 25 at the half in this game. They scored a season low 13 points in the third quarter. They were 6 of 25 shooting, 1 of 12 from 3. But in that quarter, Keegan had 9 of Sacramento's 13 points. And I wrote down a sequence in the third quarter because the Kings, by the way, did not score their first bucket until the 6:38 mark of the third quarter. Mm. Lyles hit a floater at the end of the shot clock. Keegan hit a corner three, and he just threw his arms in the air like,
yes!
Thankfully. At that moment, he was 2 of 10 in the game. 2 of 10 in the game. He hit that shot, and I don't know what that did for him, just seeing the ball go in from the corner. Whatever. He started to be aggressive, and the shot started to drop. He was 6 of 13 shooting in the second half.
Yeah.
So he finished the game with 19 points on 7 of 18, 3 of 10 from downtown. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists. It's another area I love seeing. Mm-hmm. He also had 4 blocks in this game. Dude, I thought he had a great game.
Sometimes it just takes seeing the ball fly through the net, fall through the net. I mean, former players say that all the time, and it's the truth, because what that one shot can do for your comp, be like, okay, I got it. Okay, now I know the feel. Okay, I got the vibe down, whatever it is. And I feel like that's exactly what kind of happened to him.
Yeah, it was just good to see him be aggressive, get some shots in the paint, too. He had 8 points in the paint in this game. It wasn't all from downtown he was hitting points from. So it was good to see him get some stuff going in the paint, him to knock down some shots, and, like, yeah, put the ball on the floor. Be aggressive. Look for yours. I'm at the point with Keegan, and maybe I'm just higher than most, okay? I believe in his offensive upside.
Yeah.
He's got shit to work on. He's got to get more comfortable with his handles. He's got to get more comfortable when guys pressure him a little bit to understand that he has the moves necessary to get it done. They're not at the level they need to be if he wants to reach all-star level in this league. But I think he's got enough with his size and his strength to get to the cup.
He's
got to
work on his killer instinct,
Next year, it's that.
Yeah.
It's a killer instinct. It's the confidence. And get to the free throw line.
Yep.
Someone had a great question on a YouTube comment, and I want to get your... What would you rather have? The chat can answer this, too.
Would you rather...
Okay. Would you rather have Keegan Murray with Malik Monk's confidence...
Okay.
Or Davion Mitchell with Kevin Huerter's height, 6'7"?
Oh. Ooh.
Keegan Murray?
Both. But I would honestly probably Keegan with Malik's confidence because I feel like both sides for Keegan are going to go have more of an upside than even Davion, even though me saying that about Davion with the way that he's been shooting the basketball, the way he's been attacking the basket, the way that he's been seeing more time on the basketball floor to have this opportunity and to execute in those moments on the offensive end has been beautiful. So if he did have that more size and played on ball defense with Kevin Huerter like body size, holy shit.
But then
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you just think about, like you said, you think about Davion and just like his dog and him.
Right.
I mean, and he's hitting the three now.
That's what I'm just
yeah. I'm echoing you. Can I agree with you for a second?
Echo.
I'm just like, yeah, it's a tough one. But Keegan Murray just with Malik's like.
Maybe it's just my belief in Keegs. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. With that Malik Monk, if you have that Malik Monk, I would do anything to, just, like, Malik Monk should just hold, like, a seminar. Like, I would pay.
Although, what? Obviously, what's more realistic? Well, it's Keegan Murray getting more confidence. I don't know, unless we have some amazing science.
Doubtful.
Yeah. So, I really liked how Keegan Murray played today, and he battled through some missed shots and got it done.
Agreed.
You know? And he's got to keep being aggressive. I thought one of the highlights from this game, we already talked about Colby, briefly talked about Trey Lyles. Shout out to Davion Mitchell. The bench just played well tonight.
Let me do one thing.
Okay.
Just, let me just go check, because I realized my makeup was out, and Jesus. I just didn't want to go jacked.
In this moment. We're good.
No dead dogs.
Yeah. Good, good. No dog. No.
Right.
We don't need
one
that.
One paralyzed one.
The bench I thought was really strong. And it's good to see Davion continue to play well. Davion tonight, 12 points. He had 3 assists, 4-4 at the free throw line, 3 of 8 shooting, 2 of 5 from downtown.
Dude, it was so fun seeing when the bench came on and yeah. what they added. But I love how Davion has been playing. I love, there's something different about his swagger or his confidence, whatever it is. It's more like I belong. It's not just I'm going to do what I'm told. 'Cause he's always been a very like, yes, sir, do what I'm told. I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to try and do it at the greatest level or yes. But there's maybe a little bit more looseness to it. Like, I can do more than what I'm told to do. I can play basketball. Basketball is fun. I don't just have to dominate on the defensive end. I got to make sure I am doing something else on the offensive end that isn't forced. And I don't know. He's just taking a huge leap.
But part of that is your coach trusting you to do it too, right? Because, you know, confidence 100%. Is an amazing thing. When someone believes in you and someone empowers you to go out there and do it, you feel free to go do the things that you've done in the past. And some of the stuff Davion's doing now is like stuff we actually did see him do in his rookie year.
Yes.
When he got extended. I know it was at the end of the season. What was the end of the season? This time of year is always weird. We see random ass players get hot, right? But Davion is doing, it's like, oh, but yeah, he's getting to the cup. He's beating guys off the dribble. He's pushing the pace, getting in the paint. He can do that.
Deuce, when you are empowered, it can bring you to a whole nother level. But when you believe in yourself, so cliche, but truly, when you believe in yourself, like you don't need anyone else. That person may hold the key to giving you more minutes to actually be out there on the floor, but you have to believe in yourself first. And I felt like he believed he could do certain things, but he wasn't showing it. And now this season, he's like matured and broken free. And free is that word I want to use with him. He looks like he's playing with a free mind. And then having Mike Brown with the key to be able to be like, go show me.
Well, I think the biggest change with all of that, right, is Fox is playing more off ball. And
that's great.
They're putting the ball in Davion's hands to go make something happen. And last year, if he got the moments to have the ball in his hands, he was trying to get used to an offense that he wasn't comfortable with his first year in that offense. He'd over dribble sometimes. And, you know, there's some indecisiveness in an offense where you need to make quick decisions. And then the shooting wasn't there. Then his minutes were limited at times.
Yeah. Like
2 minutes here, 3 minutes here. That's hard to figure out. Well, now with Malik out, with Kevin out, he's getting some more minutes, but he's also making the most of the opportunity, and he's doing well with the ball in his hand. Like, losing Malik Monk hurts, like, obviously, but you're starting to see something more out of Davion. The shooting has been pretty consistent this season. I mean, his three-point numbers have been pretty nice. They're much improved, and now he's starting to do the other things. I love it. I love it because there are stretches this season you're like, oh, man, like, this is tough. You know, like he worked on his all offseason on his shot. Dude, he's not playing.
There's so many times, like toward the beginning of this season, where especially before trade deadline, it was like, I just hope he goes to a team where he can play, where he can showcase himself, where he can actually be on the floor and get minutes, because you always saw that there was something there, and it did feel like someone needed to empower him, or the system of what the team style needed to work for him. But you're seeing not only with opportunities with bodies going down, you're seeing, I think he understands that, and he's put in a different type of work as well.
So after that ugly third quarter where the Kings scored just 13 points, they respond by holding the Nets to 13 points. Sacramento outscored Brooklyn 29-13 in the fourth quarter. They hang on to win 107-77. It's the fewest points they've allowed in a game this year, 77 points. Yes. Sacramento had 26 fast break points, 9 of 10 on fast break opportunities. They had 31 assists, just 9 turnovers in this game. And then some of the cool numbers that we saw, the Sacramento Kings had 8 steals tonight. Colby had 3 of those. And then block shots. Sacramento with 12 block shots tonight. You had 4 from Keegan. You had 2 from Sabonis, 2 from Colby Jones, 2 from Trey Lyles, and Alex Len had 1. So did Keon Ellis. Sabonis, by the way, 18 points, 20 rebounds, 9 assists, just 1 assist shy of a triple-double. He was 7 of 14. He had one really tough stretch in this game. And I'm trying to remember what quarter it was, because I was like, oh, my goodness, Sabonis.
Was it the first?
No. I thought I had it written down. But it was a sequence where he missed a great look, got blocked on the putback. Then the other end, the Kings get a stop. He comes down, turns the ball over. It was like 3, and he was so frustrated with himself. You could just see it. He's just like, oh, he wanted to just kill something.
Glad he didn't. But happy for him in this type of game. And he only missed 1 free throw, I believe, 4 or 5 at the free throw line.
Good, good. That's an issue. Okay. Morgan today hits me up and goes, hey, what? Do you have some new numbers on the Kings and their free throw shooting? See, and I went, yeah, you want their last 5? Coming into this game tonight, and this is significant because we had been talking about the Kings shooting the ball well at the free throw line. Mm-hmm. And it was like, man, they've been top 10 in free throw shooting. Well, coming into tonight, the Kings in their last 5 games were shooting 69% at the free throw line. On 13.4 attempts. So that's 69%, breaking news. That's not nice. That's last in the NBA. And those attempts were 28th in the NBA. And since the break, they're at 77%. That's 17th. They were near top 10 for a minute. Now, looking at Sabonis coming into this game, over his last 5, he was shooting 59% at the free throw line.
Nice.
And that kills you because you're going, man, who else is shooting like shit at the free throw line? Well, Sabonis gets there more than anybody. During that stretch, he's taken nearly 6 free throws per game and shooting 58.6%. On the good side, De'Aaron Fox, 86% at the free throw line during that stretch. De'Aaron just needs to get there more. He needs to get some more calls, but Sabonis, to Morgan's point, was 4 or 5 tonight. The Kings were 12 of 16, 75%. De'Aaron did miss 1 tonight, and Colby missed 2.
Yeah, it was much better. I like seeing them focused and making their free throws. But all in all, for Sabonis, it was just nice. He looked tough out there. And we had seen some moments in these last couple games from him where he's missing so many bunnies, or he's just like not making the right decision. You know, we talked about this before the game too, you and I, about how teams have been collapsing on him in the paint. And if he's holding on to the ball for 7 seconds or even putting the ball on the floor, trying to attack the paint, but then doesn't make a quick decision out of that, you're just screwing with your entire offense, especially when there's a spray 3 wide open, and or it could have been open if you'd taken 1 dribble and not 2.
Yeah, and that's the thing you're talking about too, is like it's teams collapsing and making life more challenging. It's not making quick decisions. And then what hurts you is when you are making these quick decisions, where you are getting the spray threes, you have games where you miss them. And the Boston game is a great example of this, where Sacramento was 7 for 26 on wide open threes. That's 26%. 7 for 26 on wide open threes. So it's one of those. Mark Jackson, right? Make or miss league. Yeah, some nights it is. And the Kings missed a lot in that Celtics game. But if you start knocking down those shots, that changes things. They're not going to feel as comfortable, you know, coming down and packing the paint unless they want to live with those guys getting hot.
And one more thing to add to that, because Will Z had put something out before the game had started, and he put Domas Sabonis offensive struggles. And he goes, missing his buddies. Monk and Herter have combined to assist 172 of Sabonis's 368 assisted field goals. Good for 46.7%. You know, just goes on to basically say, I think Herter and Monk had a bigger impact than we all maybe saw. And it's so true. I think times when you saw those dips, especially with Kevin Herter, not only was he still making them end times, even when he had his lulls and his dips, but Malik Monk especially, it was just like, that two-man game and how special that was and how efficient that type of basketball was with Domas. Now, when you're seeing those spray threes happen like against the Celtics and you're missing everything, it's just really hard to get the whole entire offense going.
So the Kings end up shooting just under 43% in this game. They're 15 of 48 from three, just 31%. Is that a number now? The Kings just aren't a good three-point shooting team as they were last year. Yeah. They were one of the best in the league.
Yeah.
Is this just what we're going to come to expect? Is them just being some nights just not good from three? It seems like this is more of a theme than ever now.
Yeah.
I guess part of it, too, we have to acknowledge Malik's out and Kevin Herter.
You have to acknowledge that. That's one thing. You have to understand Sasha Vezenkov. Injuries and then also hasn't been, like, the sharpest shooter in the world like we all thought. But it still doesn't take away from his shot looking nice and can hopefully be effective if he saw more minutes. Keegan Murray not shooting as well. His corner threes have been absolutely atrocious this season compared to what he was doing last season. There's a lot of things like this factoring in, because then even at times it felt like De'Aaron Fox when he started the season shooting 40% from three-point land, and then it took a huge dip. Yeah. And then it's gone back up in the last couple of games. So again, I think the ups and downs is exactly what the identity of this team is from beyond the arc this season.
You were talking about Keegan with corner threes. Last year in corner threes, Keegan shot 44%. Mm. This year, he's shooting 31%.
Yeah, that's a big dip.
It's a big dip. Everywhere else on the floor, non-corner, he's at 38%. Last year, he's 41. So
just a dip.
Yeah, big dip. Big, big, big. Big, big dip. Shout out to everyone hanging out with us on a Sunday night.
Give me a hell yeah.
You guys are the best. If you have not done it yet, hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Let's get to some comments. Let's see here. Is that Rachel? Sabonis only shoots free throws after he gets hard so he can't see straight. Good theory. I like that. Gets hit in the face and he's just like, I can't.
Yes, because I think he wears contacts.
Yeah.
So,
how many times have you seen Sabonis on the floor looking for his contacts this season?
He needs to get LASIK.
Also, I'm not picking that up off the court and putting back in.
You don't have contacts. You don't know what it's like.
Yeah.
Why did you just say, yeah?
I got a Hawkeyes.
Like that's a little judgy.
I got Hawkeyes, man.
What about those ears? Aren't you like going deaf in one of your ears?
What?
Nice.
Thank you. Mark says, Davion Mitchell literally was a part of the rotation last year. He played at least 20 minutes a game. No, Davion played about 14 minutes a night last year. His minutes took a big time drop off, and he was playing a completely different role than he did last year, right? You know, Fox had the ball a lot. Sabonis had the ball a lot. Running the offense through him, and then Malik too. Yeah. Edward says, I love it when Davion attacks the cup. Wish Fox would do the same, though. You know, Fox, I feel like obviously this year he's been much more confident in his three-point shot, so he's going to take the three. He didn't get to the paint a lot in this game, or at least attempt to shoot in the paint tonight. He was 4 of 7 in the paint with 8 points. But yeah, I think there are times I watch Fox and I get frustrated going, man, I know you could shoot the three, but can you please attack the cup? I think the thing that we have to acknowledge right now is, like we just said with Sabonis, any time on drives right now, collapsing completely. If you go back and watch they are collapsing. Teams whether it's are Sabonis, game planning. They're doing it on pick and rolls. They're mm-hmm. doing it on drives. Anytime Sabonis has the rock, they're collapsing. And I think that's why Mike's like, dude, we got to hit the spray threes right now. We're going to get looks this way. And we have the shooting. We at least believe we have the shooting that can get it done. I do think there are times, though, that Fox can be more aggressive getting to the rim. Like, his attempts at the rim are down this year. 24% of his shot attempts last year came out the rim. This year, it's down to 19%.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to expect teams to adjust and try and figure out a way to slow that down. Now, for De'Aaron, you just hope that he also adjusts going into this next year. And I think adjusting is what? Making sure you're working on that mid-range shot, you know, not just a floater. But, like, that game right there, I think, is a part of a lot of people's games that can be touched on more, executed more. And especially when you have the speed of De'Aaron Fox and you just get someone going back on their heels and you go, okay, might not be able to get them at the rim, but I can get them right here in this space around the nail.
And I guess it's worth mentioning, I mean, he's not taking as many mid-range, but he's still up there. I mean, the guys ahead of him on mid-range.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson and SGA.
Yeah.
I mean, 47% of Fox's shot attempts are from the mid-range. That's according to Cleaning the Glass.
Yeah.
Just drop some stats all over your faces, guys.
47%, but I guess my point is making them too. Is like that. That's what I'm saying, working on, not necessarily just like looking for
it. Last year, he shot 51% on mid-range.
Yes.
This year, it's dropped to 47%. Okay. So it's dropped a little bit. 51% last year was a career best for De'Aaron Fox.
And remember that. Like, it felt so dominant. And not to say that it's still not at 47%, but you can still feel the difference, right? Like, sometimes even just how teams game plan for him and Sabonis, it's slowing them down. They can figure out the rest.
What else jumped out to you from tonight's game? Do you have any other thoughts on tonight's game? I think we gave a lot of love.
Yeah.
To the good, and we acknowledged the bad.
The bench. I mean, we mentioned everyone there. I don't think there's anything else you need to hone on. The Kings, they did what they need to do. Only nine turnovers. We like seeing that. So taking care of the basketball. Obviously going up against a team that didn't disrupt enough. What?
The player of the game race in the voting has never been closer.
What? Oh, we
have to decide the Rock and Soul player of the game. Who was the player of the game? The options, Trey Lyles.
Okay.
Keegan.
Murray.
Colby Jones. Uh-huh. And Domas Sabonis. Here's the voting.
Okay.
24% Trey Lyles. 24% Colby Jones. 24% Domas Sabonis and 28% Keegan Murray.
So don't you have to go with the 28% Keegan Murray?
Well, what's your thought?
Keegan Murray.
Hey! He got off to a slow start, but guess what? The Kings scored 13 points in the third. He had 9 of them, and he kept being aggressive. I need this guy to have the mindset of, I'm a stud. I'm a future star. I'm going to go get it. I want him to be upset when he misses a three. I want him to celebrate after he finally makes one after being 2 of 10 shooting and then keep going after it. This guy had 19 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 blocks. Keegan Murray, our Rock and Soul player of the game.
Make sure to go check out Rock and Soul Diners, just 6 blocks away from the arena on April 12th. That's a Friday after the Kings game. There's going to be a huge party there. You get 50% off your entire bill. So make sure you go. There's a DJ at 10 o'clock too.
Appreciate their support. The Do Some Mo podcast, also presented tonight by our friends over in Northwest Exteriors. If you need new windows, there's no better place to go, Morgan Reagan.
Yeah, you got to go to Northwest Exteriors. You got to get a free quote today, because is your house ugly? Well, it's probably your windows. Is your house cold? It's probably your windows. Is your house hot? It's probably your windows. So go check them out.
Why, Morgan?
Because
they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Also, a shout out to a New York Times bestselling author, the one and only T.R. Reagan. Yes, you're going, must be related to Morgan, huh? Yeah, Morgan's mom is a New York Times and Amazon bestselling author. She writes thrillers that are based in Sacramento. What a story she has. She tried to get published for years, and the big book publishers said, no, woman.
Yeah. Literally.
This is a man's game.
Kind of.
Your books suck.
Yeah.
Done.
Uh-huh.
Go be a mom.
Kind of.
Probably. This was the 90s,
honestly,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So she went, you know what? Nah. I'm going to be different. I like writing. I like creating. Ooh. And she self-published. Turned into New York Times best-selling author. Amazon best-selling author. If you have not checked out her books, highly recommend them. They're thrillers. They're dark, and they're based in Sacramento.
She's such an inspo in so many different ways, but also her books are really good, and so many of our listeners have already started reading them. And what I love is that I get to talk to everyone about them. Oh, and you know how Trey Lyles has his book club? Yes, after our interview, I did give him a bag of T.R. Reagan books, and I was like, just let you know, you never even have to read these if you don't want to. And he's like, this is so nice. Please tell your mom thank you. How cute is that? But I was like, please don't read them, because then you're going to think differently of me because my mom's a psycho freaking lady. But seriously, you got to check them out.
Yeah. Appreciate everyone's support of the Deuce and Mo podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Oh, I had a comment too I thought was great.
Yeah.
Jesse Crowder said, I think Deuce singing is going to be the moment of when our season changed. We're going all the way now.
The beginning of the pod?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what people need to hear. Maybe the Kings need to hear that.
Time back time.
What's your Sharif Jewelers moment of the game?
Davion to De'Aaron Fox.
That lob, huh?
That alley-oop.
We laughed at the Fox to Mitchell lob, but the Davion.
Because it made way more sense.
That was pretty sweet.
I loved it. That's my Sharif Jewelers moment of the game.
And that made it 86-66. Mm. That felt like, okay, if you think you're going to make it close, it got to like 15 or 14. They went, nah. It's all over. I'm cool with that being the moment of the game.
Good.
If you guys have any other ones, let us know. Appreciate everyone's support. I've already said that. Don't know why I said that again. Next up for the Sacramento Kings, Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
The next four games, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
One at a time. One at a time.
I know. The next one is the most important one until the one after that. The Kings finish off this four-game road trip against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And tonight, after the win, the Kings are now 45-33. They are now
in the eighth spot in the Western Conference. The Lakers lost tonight. They had no LeBron.
My tummy hurt. It's
flu-like symptoms.
AKA, he was watching Cody finish his story.
What if he showed up at WrestleMania?
LeBron is totally like, I'm cool with the play-in.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's like their... I mean, isn't that where they're going to be?
I mean, if you say that, but if they want... Right. I mean, the Sacramento Kings, after tonight's game, They are one game behind the Suns. Now, why that's so fascinating, and they're also one game behind the Pelicans, they're directly in front of the Kings. So 6 Suns, 7 Pelicans, 8 Sacramento. The Kings, a game behind the Pelicans, a game behind the Suns. Mm-hmm. Well, the Kings play the Suns one more time.
Yeah.
Coming up next week. They play the Pelicans one more time coming up next week. The Lakers lost. LeBron did not play tonight, as I mentioned. AD left the game with some sort of eye injury. Uh-huh. Sounds like he'll be okay for the next game. But they lost to Minnesota in this one. So they are a half game behind Sacramento now. And the Kings have the tiebreaker. So that brings us to Tuesday when the Kings take on Oklahoma City. A Thunder team that won today in Charlotte 121-118. They beat the Hornets just by 3 points, but they've been playing shorthanded. SGA's been out with a quad contusion. He's missed the last 4 games. He actually flew back to OKC early from this trip to get treatment. Jalen Williams also missed a game, their other stud. He's missed the last 4 games with an ankle sprain, and then Gordon Hayward did not play in this one either. So this Thunder team a little banged up. I don't know if SGA is going to go Tuesday. Knowing the Kings' luck, I bet both those guys will be back. Correct. We've seen the Kings play them this year 3 times. The last time was an ugly game that they did not look ready for on Super Bowl Sunday against OKC when they were on the road, and they just looked like an absolute mess. OKC took care of them, but the Kings have beat them twice this year.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, doesn't mean that it's going to be any easier on the road. I do hope those guys are still out. I know sometimes it doesn't really matter for the Sacramento Kings, but I just would like to see Domas keep up with finding his groove and going up against someone like Chet, battling through them, being able to finish those bunnies.
Yeah, it would. I'm fine either way, but you're right. This time of year, I'm like, I don't care who's missing. Don't play any of your guys. I just want the Kings to win games if they have a chance at top 6. So they go Oklahoma City Tuesday to wrap up the road trip. And this schedule's brutal. I mean, you play 3 in 4 nights. The opponents, Oklahoma City, day off. Thursday, the Pelicans. Friday, the Suns. And then the season wraps up Sunday, a 12:30 game against the Blazers.
I'm tired just looking at that.
It would be my dream.
If what?
Well, my dream would be win the next 4.
Hey.
It would be pretty awesome. And I don't necessarily, I'm not predicting this. But how cool would it be if they won the next 4? They would have won 49 games, surpassed last season's win total with a season that didn't feel great at times, injuries, and in a tough Western Conference.
Yeah, I would be very happy with that. I mean, we talked about even in the beginning of this road trip, would you be happy if they went 2-2?
Yeah.
500 road trip. And it's possible.
I think they can beat OKC. And OKC, what a year they've had. I mean, I was just looking at their record overall. 53-25.
Jeez.
We knew they were going to take a jump this year. I don't think anyone thought it was going to necessarily be this type of jump.
And look the way that it does, too.
SGA is a strong candidate for MVP. And right now, Oklahoma City is sitting at the number 3 spot in the West. They are one game out of first. So these games matter for them, too. This is not, I think some people have looked at, oh, SGA is not playing and maybe he'd fight through it if it was a playoff game. Yeah, probably. But let's not get it twisted. They want the number 1 seed. Having the number 1 seed is so powerful to have home court advantage throughout the entire playoffs.
Yeah.
But it's a tight race. Minnesota's technically in first right now. Then you have Denver tied with them in second, OKC third.
Dude, this is what's so fun, though, too. Not only about, like, you see that, but you see the play-in, and just the NBA has done such a great job of bringing on the play-in and how every single one of these games are just like,
The fact that you have literally 6 through 10 in the West.
Yeah.
Super tight right now. In the East, let's take a look at 2 through 6 right now. I mean, Milwaukee is in second place. They're a mess. The Bucks are 15 and 17 since Doc Rivers took over as head coach. We should note that, too. You want to hear their last 4 losses, yeah. Morgan?
Yes, please.
At Washington. Home for Memphis.
Wait, and Giannis played that game? Okay.
No, fine. I don't care.
Okay, okay, you're right.
Giannis played against Washington.
Yeah, you know.
They lost at home to Memphis.
He played against Memphis.
He did?
Yep, look.
He did. They lost to Toronto at home. I don't think he played in that game, but Dame did.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just lost tonight to the Knicks at home.
Giannis played.
Yep. So they've lost 4 in a row now, but they're in the second spot.
And their last 4.
Their last 4. Boston, Orlando, at OKC, at Orlando. Well, Orlando is right behind them in the standings. Orlando is in the number 3 spot. They are 1 game behind Milwaukee. Oh, by the way, the Knicks, 1 game behind them in the 4 spot. Mm. The difference between Milwaukee at number 2 and Indiana number 6 is just 2.5 games. I mean, Indiana going into the final week of the season is a game and a half out of the number 3 spot.
I can't even believe Indiana's in the playoffs. Just like
the West is a different. It's just the East is different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, we've shit on the East so much this year, and I thought one of the best points I heard someone, I think someone made it on social media.
Yeah.
Is like, we've like, oh, the East is so bad and it's not very good, blah, blah, blah. Of course, the Kings this year are 16 and 14 against the East.
Yeah.
They're 29 and 19 against the West.
What the hell?
Like, of course, you couldn't take care of some of the East. That's so annoying.
That's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So that, to your point, this is how crazy. We are headed to the final week of the season with the number 2 seed in the East undecided.
Mm.
Right? You've got three teams fighting for it. Then you've got a few teams fighting for the number 3 seed, including the 6th seed. You have 7 and 8 that could juggle a little. Like, what? And then in the West, all the drama. You've got 6 through 10.
Dude, so much drama. And I kind of love it.
This is what it's about.
I love it.
And, wow. Next Sunday?
Yeah.
Next Sunday.
Last game of the season.
We're already going to be done. We're going to know where the Kings stand. We're going to know if they're in the play-in, if they... Somehow,
1 week from today. Believe in the beam.
That was me pressing my buttons.
I see.
My playoff mode activated, dude.
Believe in the beam.
Basketball gods, just please, please give us a first round series. Even if the path is through the play-in, just please get us to the first round. I just need a 7-game series. I for my mental state, cannot deal with being eliminated in the play-in because it'd be by like the Lakers.
Oh my God.
Or the Warriors. And it's just, I'm not ready for it. I need playoffs.
Do you want to hear the song of praise one more time?
Do you have a song of praise?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, the beam. Yes, I do. Go ahead.
Won't screw up the mashup.
Thank you.
Do you believe in a beam? I can feel something inside of me that this really is a playoff team. Oh, it's not unusual to believe in the beam. It's not unusual to have fun with the beam. But when I don't see that gleam in the sky, it's not unusual to see me cry. I wanna die. She's just a beam that smiles at me after every King's victory. There's nothing like seeing the bright purple sky. Now and then when she don't shine, I ask myself, did we lose it at the line? If I think too much, I'll probably break down and cry. Oh. Oh, 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 sweet beam of mine.
Do you feel like you believe now? Air drum that. Yeah. Play your other instrument. Flip your drumstick.
That's all I have.
Great we job. Believe. We believe. That's your anthem going into the end of the season. Why those songs? Nobody knows.
Shout out to Horace. I literally have incense and a candle on an altar while they are praying to the basketball gods. Hell yeah. Scotty says Deuce and Celine. Yeah.
Your turn. Sing the anthem.
What's the anthem?
That we just did.
I don't know that whole thing. I don't have the lyrics memorized, dude.
Do you believe?
I don't have it all. Just you need to give it.
Do your share.
Do you believe in the beam? Do you believe in the beam? I don't know. If I could turn back time. I mean, I don't have any of that.
Not unusual to believe in the beam.
It's not unusual to believe in the beam.
It's not unusual to have fun with the beam.
It's not unusual to have fun with the beam. I don't know.
You're doing so good. Dude, singing is my favorite thing. I love it. I do.
You're taking shots at me?
No, I'm not. I'm with Jesse where I feel like this could be the turning point of the Kings season ever since Deuce Mason sang.
Sweet beam of my hand.
Yep.
You got it. Oh, 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 sweet beam of my hand. No NBA games tomorrow night.
Why?
Because we have the national championship game, the men's national. NBA. We shut down for the men's game.
Wait, yeah.
For the women's, pack them in. Get all the games on. That's kind of funny, huh?
What?
Isn't that kind of funny?
No, it just, the massage I need.
Okay, so settle down. Shout out to the national championship today. Great, great crowd for South Carolina taking on Iowa. The way it got started. Caitlin Clark dropping 18 points in the opening quarter. Iowa gets off to a nice start. But, dude, South Carolina, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I'm a college basketball expert, but you just go, hey, this team has not lost a game this season. You see why. Their defense, their size, they got all the second chance opportunities.
Dawn Staley was talking about, even after the game, she was talking about the guy that scouted and basically the way that he explained it to the team on what they needed to do. She just was like, it was so... It was such this big teaching moment and being able to relay the message the way that he did, just giving him so much credit. But I'm so happy for them. Such a badass story. Both teams just badass. But for South Carolina, I mean, to go undefeated and then win the whole thing in that fashion, when you're going up against one of the best players to ever play basketball.
It's wild that one player was overshadowing a South Carolina team who had not lost, right? Mm-hmm. Who's had success before.
Yeah.
But going into the game, it felt like she was overshadowing them for good reason. She's unbelievable. She's going to be the number one pick, going to go to Indiana and play for the Fever. I was looking at, there was some story that was posted. The Aces, they play the Fever, I think, in early July. They're moving their game to a bigger venue because of the demand for tickets for that game. She hasn't even technically been drafted. The draft's next week, but you know everyone's expecting her to go. So they're playing at T-Mobile Arena for that game,
dude.
And the Fever, I guess their season tickets are going crazy right now.
No, oh my god, this is just such a great time for basketball as a whole, and it's just like finally people are just getting it. Good job.
Also, shout out to the Stockton Kings. Their incredible season came to an end tonight at the hands of former Sacramento King Jamias Ramsey and the Oklahoma City Blue. They came to town and beat the Sacramento Kings G League affiliate, the Stockton Kings.
Nice.
Good save. In the Western Conference Finals, seeing elimination. So OKC advances with a 114-107 victory. Stanley Johnson had 30 points. Jalen Slauson, the Kings rookie, had 26. Mason Jones, 14 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds on 1 of 7 shooting. It was tough. The former King, Jamias Ramsey, I mentioned him. He had 29 points, some big plays late. But, yeah, unfortunate. But, you know, that group had a great year. Best record in the G League. It's a one game. You go home. That's tough. They're not going to the G League final. So I'm bummed about that a little bit.
I'm super bummed about that. And obviously, you know, Deuce and I weren't on the call because the games go to ESPN. And it's like, it's even sad just not even being able to be there and call that last game. Yep. I know we got to call a really fun game going into that with the Western Conference Finals, but like just calling games for this team this season was so much fun. And there were so many different guys that made it fun. You know, everyone from the beginning of the season felt like a lot of Jordan Ford. And then as when they finally got like Mason Jones, and obviously when Colby Jones was just dominating, and then Jalen Slauson, you can just depend on his passion to always shine through with his body language. I mean, but it's truly just a passionate player out there. And then Lindsay doing some amazing things with her coaching staff this year. It was a really fun season.
Yeah, congrats on an awesome year. Someone in the chat was wondering about the free throw rules in the G League. Adam, it was a great game. Just question about the weird G League free throw rules. Sometimes they only shoot once and get 2 points. Mason did it at the end, was very confused. Okay, so the G League has a crazy rule. When there's a shooting foul. If you're fouled shooting on a two-point attempt, you take one free throw for 2 points. Mm-hmm. If you get fouled and you're attempting a three-pointer, you get one free throw for 3 points. They've experimented with that in the G League the last few years. Now, it goes to traditional free throw rules with under 2 minutes to play in the fourth quarter and in the new rule in the G League, the untimed overtime that is a target score of +7 at the end. So if it was 100-100 at the end of the fourth quarter, then the first team to 107 wins. Anyway, the free throw rule is weird. And the whole thought, I think, was like, hey, can we speed up the game a little bit? I don't think it's made the game that much faster. I also don't love it, to be honest. I think it's a rule that it's like a gimmicky thing. I think it puts so much pressure on free throws, but it also pads stats big time because you could see.
Yeah, I get it.
If you go to the free throw line and you go there a few times, you're just hitting one, you're getting 2 points every time. And then on the flip side, if you miss them, they hurt. That's probably the one element I do like is like it puts like a huge
importance on it. So important. No, I think that's what's made it so fun for me the last couple of years is that I like that it's quick at the free throw line. It's one free throw, boom, get out, get done. But I also like the pressure that it really does put on. You could have 3 points with one free throw. You miss that shit, it just sucks. It sucks. It stings. Yeah. Making free throws.
I don't want it in the NBA, though. You want it in the NBA?
I don't think there's an issue at the free throw line in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like it's taking forever. Where
Giannis is the only one. And I do agree with that. Like, I'm sorry. Like, if you're taking 12 seconds at the line, like, we got to speed it up. Oh, it's what I do. No. Do you take 12 seconds to take a jumper in a game? No. You get a ball and you make a play.
Not only
when
that.
When you go to the free throw line, do the same thing.
Not only that, Deuce. I feel like it's all the little things, though, then they need to, like, point of emphasis on. And they need to point of emphasis on when there's a lane violation, when someone steps over the rim before or over the line before they're supposed to, if they're taking longer than 10 seconds at the free throw line. Like, all those little things. Because if you let one person get away with it, it's like, we just do this. We just walk into the key a little earlier than everyone else. I'm a superstar. No, you got to make sure you're playing by the fundamental rules of basketball if you want that to be a thing.
There's Morgan's takes, her hot takes.
There's nothing hot about that.
Just want to make sure we didn't miss anything else. We told you the Lakers lost 127 to 117 to the Lakers. Excuse me, they say that, right? Wait, Minnesota? No. I said the Lakers lost to the Lakers. Let's try again. Hit rewind if you don't mind. Minnesota won tonight. Beating the Lakers 127 to 117. LeBron, AD, Iggy left. LeBron did not play in that game. Golden State did not have Steph Curry. They rested him against Utah. They won 118 to 110.
That game got close because they had a huge lead throughout. Also, the Warriors clinched a top 10 spot.
Wow.
Yep.
What a moment, dude.
And NBC put out a graphic for them, and I was very happy about it.
Good.
Yay. You get it.
Also, around the league, Tyrese Maxey, another 50-point game this year. He had 52 points against the Spurs in a double overtime game, 133 to 126. But how about this stat line? Victor Wembanyama. You ready for this?
Yeah, I saw it.
33 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 blocks on 11 of 20 shooting. He was 5 of 10 from 3.
11 of 20 shooting.
Just
watch out, NBA.
NBA fans around the world, just enjoy the rest of this year and maybe some of next year, because yeah.
You play him, you're dead.
If this guy like stays healthy, it's over. It's a wrap. Like, what? 7 blocks? He's going to get a quadruple double. It's happening.
It is a team sport, though, so you got to make sure you're putting the right pieces around this majestic human.
I know, but that's why I said a couple of years from now. That's kind of my thought on that. New Orleans went to Phoenix, beat the Suns tonight. It was was it in Phoenix? I'm just making stuff up at this point. Who cares where it was? 113 to 105. Don't laugh at me. You know this is the stuff that bugs me when I make mistakes, Morgan.
I know. I don't know where it was either.
I think it was in New Orleans.
Okay.
It was in Phoenix. Son of a bitch, dude.
You're fine, dude.
113-105 in that game. CJ had 31. Zion had 29 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks. Who does he think he is, a Wemby? Like, what? KD at 23 on just 8 of 22 shooting. How about that? Suns bench dropped 7 in the game. Big time stuff from that bench, huh?
No. Damn, deuce.
And another crazy game that happened. Yeah. Houston and Dallas. The Rockets were up in this game by 22 points. But Kyrie and Luka, man, it's ridiculous. They combined for, 85 points in this game? Yeah, Luka had 48 points on 15 of 25 shooting. This is disgusting. No, 15 of 17 Irving. At the line.
You said Luka. So Kyrie had 48 points, 15 of 17 at the free throw line. Luka had 37 points, 9 of 9 at the free throw line.
Sorry. I've made some mistakes late. In
a game. Few. Yeah. How about you just keep it crisp?
Kyrie had 40, as I mentioned. The 15 of 17 is disgusting. 17 free throw attempts, gross. Yes. Luka, the 37, 12 assists, 9 rebounds on 12 of 21 shooting. They beat the Rockets 147 to 136. Am I okay?
Sharpen up, Deuce. Hasn't been a long day or anything, says Corey.
Am I okay?
Honestly, I'm going to go with no. Like, you do this sometimes where you just push yourself over the limit and you just got to, like, you got to recognize, dude, you're in your 30s. Oh, God.
You know, someone commented on your emo song that people loved and said something about, oh, this is kind of weird that people in their 50s are doing this.
Did they really?
Yeah, I'm like, what?
You know what's so funny? I was like, it could definitely, any of my songs could come off cringe. But guess what? I don't give two shits because I have fun.
You should not.
Oh, no, I literally don't. Why do you think I sing for 2 hours in my car?
With that said, final thoughts time.
My final thoughts. Couple games left. 1 week from now, we'll know the Kings' destiny in the play-in and or playoffs. But play-in's in mind, and that's okay. But again, enjoy the journey and the rest of it, because you're going to miss it when it's gone too. Oh. Like we always do. We always do.
Here's another piece of perspective.
Oh, piece of perspective.
Last year, the Kings season completely ended after game 7 on April 30th. It's April 7th. So as Morgan just said, enjoy the journey. Mm-hmm. We are headed into a massive week. We're headed into an emotional week against teams that you're competing directly against. Tuesday against Oklahoma City. That's a tough one. But when you come home for a back-to-back against the Pelicans and Suns, the two teams right in front of you, this doesn't get any bigger. Let's go. Bring it on. Don't be scared. I am done hearing people say, oh, man, the Pelicans, you lost that one. You'll lose to them in the play-in. No. That was a long time ago. No, it was.
I mean, I'm not automatically like, yeah, and lose them, but I can be scared. But my fear isn't going to take away from my joy, you know? Like, the fear is kind of like, it's like when you're on, what's that one roller coaster? Now it's the Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster, and you're, like, going up, and you're like, but you know this shit's still going to, like, make your stomach hurt a little bit, but it's a fun little roller coaster ride, so enjoy it. And if it crashed, then you die and it would be awful. But that's not going to happen.
It's not.
It's just the end of the season if that happens and you get better from there.
We're enjoying this journey together. And it's going to be a fun week. I feel it's going to be a fun week. I'm going to enjoy this week. And even if it's a bad week, well, guess what? You know what you do know? You're going to have at least one more game to play.
Hell yeah.
And it's going to be a meaningful one with a chance to get to the playoffs for the second consecutive year. And then you win that game. You get back to the playoffs. And then we're in it.
Hell
we're
yeah.
in the thick of it. People in chat wondering, what's going to happen after the season for the Kings? We're not done.
Oh, no, no.
We're going to have so much NBA playoff content, you're going to be disgusted.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, we appreciate you guys. Let's get ready for a big week. Rest up. Let's go. We love you, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.